about 2 weeks ago, more or less, 10 days ago, which is pretty exciting. And during that time, I was reflecting on how I got here. And I was remembering, for some reason, I remembered this one night of going out with my girlfriend, Judy Stout, and how we got all dressed up and we were going to an art opening and then we were going to go to a fancy restaurant and, you know, we just put on the dog. And this was in the mid-'80s. And she drove. We went to the thing. We went to this restaurant afterwards. And somehow I fell off the shelf one more time. The next thing I know, I was behind some grocery store where they do deliveries. And this guy in a semi was offering to get me home. He told me to get in the cab of the car, and he would get me home. Had to crawl back into the window because I didn't have my purse or my keys, or I had lost my shoes and a couple of other things that night. And that girlfriend of mine slept in her car, waiting for me to come back from the bathroom or wherever it was I went. That was not the end of my drinking, and it wasn't the beginning. You know, it was just one more day. And I had already gone through a program at that point. I had already been told by the courts that I was actually an alcoholic, which I didn't understand what that meant, but I was certified by the state of California. I went to SB 38. And, you know, it was just one more day. And anyway, so fast forward a couple of years, and I just woke up one day, and I had a roommate, and I said, I don't know what to do. And she was not in the program, but she happened to be an Eskimo. And I think if you're here, you know what that means. And she knew somebody that was going to be taking a cake at a meeting, and she had no relationship to AA. But so that was about 33 years ago. I walked into that meeting, and I heard people talk, and oh, they were talking to me. And I had been in so many meetings. I had to go to, you know, so many court cards, and I never heard it. And that day I heard it, and it's allowed me to put together a life beyond my wildest dreams, you know. I went to school, I did what my sponsor said, she just said to get busy. She told me not to take a job that I really wanted, and I didn't. Instead I went to college, I went to law school. I became a citizen of this country, I became a member of the community, I became a good daughter. I was a good student because I figured out you just had to do the work, which is the same exact way to get sober. You do the work. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Joanne. All right, let's see. June 8, 1991. Debbie D. Huh? 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 That's you. Okay, I'll tell. Okay, a reminder to get really close to the mic. Ring like close.
Hi, everybody. I'm Debbie. I'm an alcoholic. And nice to see everybody here, and I don't belong here. I haven't. The old timers that are here and the sobriety that's here is way better than mine. I'm a comparer, and I usually lose, and sometimes I win, but then I feel like crap because I'm guilty. So that's me. I'm a work in progress, and I love this way of life. I love the Society of Alcoholics Anonymous. I came in through the back door. I was in Al-Anon first. My mother's drinking was a whole lot worse than mine. I thank God, too. I'm not one of those alcoholics who said, I'm not going to drink like my mom, but I did. I didn't. I really didn't. And I'm so grateful because I've stayed sober. My mother couldn't stay away from the pills. Doctors fed her, and she couldn't make it. She had a beautiful sponsor when we lived in Hawaii, Alice Corneal. Some of you might know her. And so I watched all these sober ladies around my mom while I was out there, you know, doing the Hawaii thing. And my secret pleasure was drinking. It wasn't cool to drink back then. It was acid and pot and whatever. And but, you know, my drinking, I kept hearing my story when I came to open speaker AA meetings through my Al-Anon program. And I go back to my Al-Anon meetings and go, we are just the